Chapter 25. The war council ended long after dark, and when his commandants had upsaddled and ridden away to their lagers among the hills, Jan Polus sat alone beside the fire. He was tired, as though his brain was the cold, flabby body of an octopus, and its tentacles spread out to every extremity of his body. He was lonely. Now, at the head of 5,000 men, he was alone as he had never been in the vast solitude of the open veldt. Because of the loneliness and because of the companionship she had given him these past 20 years, his thoughts turned to Henrietta, and he smiled in the darkness and felt the longing blunt the edge of his determination. "I would like to go back to the farm, for a week only, just to see that they are all well. I would like to read to them from the book, and watch the faces of the children in the lamplight. I would like to sit with my sons on the stoop, and hear the voices of Henrietta and the girls as they work in the kitchen. I would like..." Abruptly he stood up from beside the fire. "Ah, you would like this, and you would like that. Go, then. Give yourself leave of absence, as you have refused it to so many others." He clenched his jaw, biting into the stem of his pipe. "Or else sit here and dream like an old woman, while 25,000 Englishmen pour across the river." He strode out of the lager, and the earth tilted upwards beneath his feet as he headed for the ridge. "Tomorrow," he thought. "Tomorrow. God has been merciful that they did not rush the ridge 2 days ago, when I had 300 men to hold it. But now I have 5,000 to their 25, so let them come." Suddenly, as he reached the crest, the valley of the Tugela lay below him, soft with moonlight so that the river was a black gash in the land. He scowled as he saw the field of bivouac fires that straddled the drift at Trichardt's farm. "They have crossed. May God forgive me that I had to let them cross. But I could not meet and hold them with 300. 2 days I have waited in agony for my columns to cover the 20 miles from Colenso. 2 days while the cannon bogged down in the mud. 2 days while I watched their cavalry and their foot soldiers and their wagons crossing the drift, and I could not stop them. Now they are ready. Tomorrow they will come up to us. This is where they will come. To try at any other place is madness, a stupidity far beyond any they have shown before. They cannot try the right, for to reach it they must march across our front. With little cover and the river fencing them, they would expose their flank to us at 2,000 yards. No, they cannot try the right, not even Buller will try the right. Slowly he turned his head and looked out to the left, where the tall peaks rose sheer out of the heights. The formation of the ground resembled the back of a gigantic fish. Jan Polus stood upon its head on the relatively smooth slope of Tabanyama, but on his left rose the dorsal fin of the fish. This was a series of peaks, Falkrantz, Brockfontein, Twin Peaks, Conical Hill, and the highest and most imposing of all, Spionkop. Once again he experienced the nagging prickle of doubt. Surely no man, not even Buller, would throw any army against that line of natural fortresses. It would be senseless as the sea hurling its surf at a line of granite cliffs. Yet the doubt remained. Perhaps Buller, that pedestrian and completely predictable man. Buller, who seemed eternally committed to the theory of frontal assault, perhaps this time he would know that the slopes of Tabanyama were too logical, the only point at which he could break through. Perhaps he would know that the whole of the Boer army waited for him there with all their guns. Perhaps he would guess that only 20 burghers guarded each of the peaks on the left flank, that Jan Polus had not dared to spread his line so thin, and had risked everything on Tabanyama. Jan Polus sighed. Now it was past the time for doubt. He had made the choice, and tomorrow they would know. Tomorrow. Van Mora. Heavily he turned away and started down towards the lager. The moon was setting behind the black massif of Spionkop, and its shadow hid the path. Loose rock rolled under his feet. Jan Polus stumbled and almost fell. "Vistar!" The challenge from an outcrop of granite beside the path. "A friend!" Jan Polus saw the man now. He leaned against the rock with a Mauser held low across his hips. "Tell me, what commando are you with?" "The Weinbergers, under Leroux."
"So... do you know Leroux?" the sentry asked.
"Yes."
"What colour is his beard?"
"Red.
red as the flames of hell. The sentry laughed. Tell Oompol from me I'll tie a knot in it the next time I see him. Best you shave before you try, he might do the same for you, Jan Polis warned him. Are you his friend? Uh-huh, and his kinsman too. And the hell with you then also, the sentry laughed again. Will you drink coffee with us? It was an ideal opportunity for Jan Polis to mingle with his men and gauge their temper for tomorrow. Donkey, he accepted the invitation. Chut, the sentry straightened up, and Jan Polis saw he was a big man, made taller by the Homburg that he wore. Karl, is there any coffee left in the pot? He yelled into the darkness beyond the rocks, and was answered immediately. In the name of God must you bellow. This is a battlefield, not a political meeting, man. The English are as loud. I've heard them all night. The English are fools. Must you be the same? For you, only for you, the sentry dropped his voice to a sepulchral whisper, and then roared again suddenly. But what about that damned coffee, man? This one is not short of stomach, Jan Polis grinned to himself, as the man, still chuckling happily, placed an arm about his shoulder and led him to the screen fire among the rocks. Three burghers squatted about it with blankets draped over their shoulders. They were talking among themselves as the sentry and Jan Polis approached. Oh, the moon will be down in half an hour, one of them said. Yeah, I will not be happy to see it gone. If the English plan a night attack, then they will come in the dark of the moon. Who is with you? Karl asked as they came towards the fire. A friend, the sentry replied. From what commando? The Weinbechers, Jan Polis answered for himself. And Karl nodded and lifted the battered enamel coffee pot from the fire. So you are with Oompol, and what does he think of our chances for tomorrow? That of a man with one bullet left in thick catbush, with a lung-shot buffalo coming down in full charge. And does it worry him? Only a madman knows no fear. Oompol is afraid, but he tries not to show it, for fear spreads among men like the white sore throat diphtheria. Jan Polis replied as he accepted the mug of coffee and settled down against a rock out of the firelight, so they would not recognize his face nor the color of his beard. Show it or not, grunted the sentry as he filled his mug, but I reckon he'd give one of his eyeballs to be back on his farm at Weinbach, with his wife beside him in the double bed. Jan Polis felt the glow of anger in his belly, and his voice, as his reply was harsh. You think him a coward? I think I would rather stand on a hill a mile behind the fighting and send other men in to die, the sentry chuckled again. But there was a sardonic note in it. I have heard him swear that tomorrow he will be in the front, wherever the fight is fiercest, growled Jan Polis. Oh, he said so, did he? So that we fight more cheerfully. But when the Lee Metfords rip your belly open, how will you know where Oompol is? I have told you he is my kin. When you insult him, you insult me. Anger had closed Jan Polis's throat so that his voice was hoarse. Chut! The sentry stood up quickly. Let us settle it now. Be still, you fools, Karl spoke irritably. Save your anger for the English. And then more softly. All of us are restless, knowing what tomorrow will bring. Let your quarrel stand. He is right, Jan Polis agreed, still choked with anger. But when I meet you again... How will you know me? The sentry demanded. Here, Jan Polis jerked the wide-brimmed Terai hat from his head and flung it at the man's feet. Wear that, and give me yours in exchange. Why? The sentry stood puzzled. Then if ever a man comes up to us and says, you're wearing my hat, he will be saying, Jan Polis Leroux is a coward. The man grinned so that his teeth glittered in the firelight. Then he dropped his own black Homburg into Jan Polis's lap and stooped to pick up the Terai. In that instant, faintly on the wind, soft as the crackle of dried twigs, they heard the rifle fire. Mausers! Shouted Karl, and he leapt to his feet, sending the coffee pot flying. On the left, moaned Jan Polis in anguish. Oh, God help us, they've tried the left! The chorus of rifle fire rose, swelling urgently, and now blending with the crisp crackle of the Mausers was the deep belling of the Lee Metfords.
Spionkop. They are on Spionkop. And Jan Polis ran, hurling himself down the path towards the lager with the black Homburg jammed down over his ears.